Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Sorry that I missed a few days, but it was Purim. Today was Shushan Purim. It was the day before the Shabbos before Purim. A lot of preparation. Baruch Hashem, we sent out 250 beautiful Shalach Manos Purim gift packages to people that knew little or nothing about Purim. And this helped them, of course, to learn more about Purim and enjoy Purim, sometimes be involved in here in the Megillah, and many other Purim activities that we were involved in, making a public Purim lunch in which people would do all the mitzvahs of Purim, and so forth. All this is not an excuse for not telling a story every single day on Jewish Stories and More, because the word for excuse in Hebrew or in Aramaic, I should say, is amasla, excuse. But the word amasla really breaks down into two words, emes loy. It's not true. Anytime that we're making an excuse, it's just an excuse. If we would have tried harder, most probably we could have accomplished it. That's also why we say bli neder, because even if it seems as if there's something that we could accomplish and something comes up and we can't accomplish it, so we didn't break a neder. If a person says, I will meet you at the corner in 1 minute, just 1 minute, I'm just going to run right in the house, be right out. 1 minute, I'll meet you in the corner. And then something happens, whatever. The person's father said to them, listen, I want you to do this or that. Okay, got to do it. And then what happened to the promise to meet the person at the corner in 1 minute? All gone. That's why we say bli neder. Without a vow. So here also, of course, the commitment to tell a story every day is a intention, but it's not a neder. It's always said, bli neder, that's always the intention that, although it's certainly my intention to tell a story every day on Jewish Stories and More, but sometimes it can happen that for some reason I don't. In any case, I heard recently a beautiful story. It's about kashrus. Now, there's a law in kashrus that you have to make sure that meat, it could apply to other things too, but the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, talks about meat, kosher meat that was concealed from Jewish eyes and exposed to the possibility of non-Jewish people, perhaps exchanging it, cannot be eaten, may not be eaten. So let's say, for example, I have a plate with a nice piece of chicken on it, and I'm eating it on my front porch. But my front porch is very close to the street. And could be that mailman, you know, comes up and delivers the mail and comes right to the same place as my meat, as my plate of chicken. So what happened was, for example, I left the plate of chicken there on the porch for a minute. And I went in to do who knows what. And I came out, I saw the mail had been delivered, and the mailman, or let's say it was a lady delivering the mail, and not a Jewish person, came there, and there was nobody there on the porch with them for a minute. I was in the house for whatever reason. Nobody else was around. Nobody else saw it. And they were there on the porch delivering the mail, and there was my plate of chicken. Well, I'm not allowed to eat that chicken now, because it's quite possible that they exchanged that piece of kosher chicken for not kosher chicken. Maybe they had a piece of chicken they were going to have for lunch. It was in their bag, and it could be they exchanged it. I don't know. I wasn't watching. Nobody was watching. For that time, it was concealed from Jewish eyes, and there was a non-Jew right there who could have exchanged it. Now, if I recognize the piece of chicken, I see clearly because of this or that about it, that this was the same exact piece of chicken, okay, then I know. If I recognize, I know it's that piece of chicken. But if I cannot really say for sure that I recognize a piece of chicken, it looks like any piece of chicken, well, if you put next to a piece of kosher chicken, a piece of non-kosher chicken, the same type of cut, we call it, the same part of the chicken and cooked in the same style, you really can't necessarily tell that one is kosher and one's not. And therefore, I would not be allowed to eat that piece of chicken, because I can't really be sure it's the same piece of chicken that I had before the mailman came. The mailman could have exchanged it. So some people say, oh, that's such a small chance of that happening. Come on, how many mailmen carry a piece of chicken in their bag? And they say, it's impossible to happen. So listen to this story. There was once a frum yid who was on a plane, and he had ordered a kosher meal, and he unwrapped it, unwrapped the double wrapping, and it's sitting on his plate, and there's a nice piece of kosher meat, and there's some vegetables, and there's also a roll, and he's thinking, should I have the roll also? I have to go and wash and so forth. I don't know, maybe, yeah, maybe, okay, I'll do it, I'll go wash, and I'll have a real meal, I'll be able to bench, and say v'chalta v'savata v'arachta, that you shall eat and be satisfied and blessed. A big mitzvah to bench, to say the whole berachas hamazon. So, okay, I'll do it. And meanwhile, his neighbor in the next seat also had a meal. It was not a kosher meal, but it was the same type of meal. It's also chicken or meat or whatever it was. It looked the same, but he knew it was not kosher. It didn't have kosher wrapping. So he went and washed and came back. And he had the roll, and he looked at the meat, and he thought, I don't know, I don't really feel like eating this meat. So he didn't eat the meat. After a while, the person that's sitting next to him in the seat said, I see you didn't eat your meat. He said, yeah, I don't know, I just didn't feel like it. Well, why didn't you eat the meat? You were going to eat it before, weren't you? He said, well, yeah, but I don't know. For some reason, I didn't feel like eating it, I don't know. The person next to him said, oh, the Torah is great, Hashem is great, God is great, and the Jewish people are great. So the frum Jew said, what do you mean? I mean, it's very nice of you to say that, but why all of a sudden you say that? He said, I'll tell you why. While you were gone washing your hands, I looked over your tray. I saw that you had the exact same type of meat as I had. And I just became curious. Like, I wonder if the kosher meat tastes any different. And I switched the meat. I switched it. I knew you would not be able to tell the difference. Looked exactly the same. I had the same type of meat as you, just that yours was made in a kosher way and mine was not made in a kosher way. And so I switched it to see if I could tell the difference. I figured, whatever, you wouldn't mind or anything. What's the difference? So I switched them. And I was wondering if you'd be able to tell that I switched them. And here I see that your God helped you. And for some reason, he put into your mind that you shouldn't eat the meat. It's obvious to me, this person said, that your God is great, the Jewish people are great, and Torah is great. And that's the story. So every once in a while, you know, we're just passing the holiday of Purim. Today is actually the last few minutes right now as I'm recording, last few minutes before Shushan of Purim is over. And the miracle of Purim is called a miracle enclosed in nature. It didn't look unnatural. Everything looked quite natural. And this also looked natural. The Jewish person just had a feeling he shouldn't eat the meat, or he didn't want to eat the meat. Not even that he shouldn't. He just didn't feel like eating the meat. It looked very natural, but obviously it was a miracle. Hashem put into his mind not to eat the meat to protect him from not eating something not kosher. Of course, when Mashiach comes, this will all be out in the open. We are now battling the very end of the Gullus, and we're battling Yishmael combined with Edom. Descendants of Yishmael and the descendants of Esav all working together to try to, chas v'shalom, destroy the Jewish people, but we will stand strong and Hashem will help us and we will bring the Geula. May it happen immediately. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. And what's most important is, for you to learn more Torah, for you to do more mitzvahs, more acts of goodness and kindness, and yearn more for Mashiach, learn about Mashiach so that you will yearn for Mashiach, learn so you'll yearn. The more we learn about Mashiach, the more we yearn for Mashiach, that he should come. And the quicker he comes, the Rebbe says it's the direct path, the most direct path, the straight path to bring Mashiach. May it happen immediately. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. Have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of the month of Adar, and then straight into Chodesh HaGeula, the month of the redemption, Pesach, and may it be also this month already, Adar, today already, the Geula Shleima, the complete and speedy Geula and true Geula.